Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Mark Googe, Chief Technology Officer at the U.S. Department of Defense's Military Health System. So, Mark, could you tell us a little bit more about the MHS's innovation program and efforts to implement an innovation portfolio?
Absolutely. So we have our senior leadership has designated an innovation officer to allow that activity to be led. So not only an idea that might spur, but maybe an IT enabling capability. So that's kind of how we interact between the innovation office and then really what we need to do to that applied space or that idea, if it requires a technology, that we start developing an innovation office that allows us to look at the onboarding, the complexity, the conformity of that potential IT product or service that goes into our portfolio, and then create from that the innovation library. Right, so we're starting to look at the MHS like medical mart, right, for reusable products and services, a toolkit, so that people can look at and go shopping. Says, hey, I got an idea about boom. It does not mean that they need to recreate the wheel on this one, right? So if I have a component that's already been built for one use, there's really little to no reason that I need to rebuild that when I want to put different business logic in that. So it might be I used to go to Y, right, with this product, but I want to go to Z, right? Refactoring that and putting new business logic through coding and stuff into a framework that's already been approved and right, as a standardized approach to that is really easier for us to look at, again, fielding that capability. If you look at some of the stuff that we're doing, like App Store, so that our clinical providers and those business owners, when we start developing more and more business apps, can rate the stars on it, right? So it doesn't take away from anybody's ability if you want to sit at your house to take that toolkit to start building something that might be of use to the MHS, right? That's kind of what we want, innovation to be spurred from all around, but still have a target in which to land.
Is it sort of the controlled innovation?
Yeah, controlled, yeah, absolutely. Because, I mean, without controlled, then you just have chaos, right? You have innovation, the chaos. So, I mean, if you look at the World Wide Web, it's kind of chaotic to a point, right? To a point where, you know, I'll let these certain protocols run the web, right? And the IEEE has set a standard for that, the engineering, the international engineering community. But that allows the quick adoption. If you look at how fast the internet was adopted, it was kind of simple, right? It only took a couple ports or protocols in which to do that and relative easy lift for that. And it went huge and quickly, and everybody knew how to utilize it. And so that's kind of what we want, take a lot of the IT-ness out of that, right, and really work on the human interaction between that capability and what data you're going to get out of that and what kind of interaction that you're going to have with that. And so it could be either centralized, it could be disconnected. I built something for somebody when we look at like PTSD or mood tracker for some of the T2 guys have put out. It's done a wonderful job. Disconnected mode, I can sit there and now how I feel, I can capture that. And when I come back into the MTF or to my, you know, my care provider, I can share that information that I've captured over the last month or last week with him or her to have a better interaction for healthcare.
So what is the Innovation Alliance and how does that factor into your efforts?
Sure. The Innovation Alliance, again, a large part of that is ensuring that we have a lot of the people necessary for the change, not only from the senior leadership, so we all have that board or that alliance to allow each of those members from our services, from internal and headquarter, at the highest levels down the lowest level, have a place in which to look at the rack and stacking of all the innovation and innovation areas that we like to either apply research funding to answer a question or look at a problem state in the next couple of years, or look at today where we're at with our portfolio and portfolio services. Is there a better innovative way? And usually the people at the deck plate will let you know if there's something wrong, that there's a way to help enable better care. You know, and that's what I kind of love about being in this space, because everybody's a care provider first and foremost, and they really take on those entrusted to our care is a very serious statement, as I do, because it is a lot of trust. So when you're someplace overseas, the last thing you really want to worry about is my family being taken care of, right? So again, they have their mission, we have ours, and I think we both do it very, very well, and I'm proud to be over the organization. So as we get there, we want to ensure that those people have a mechanism and an avenue in which to take that idea and proliferate that to us at the central office.
And does the call for innovations initiative factor into this as well?
Yeah, there's been several calls for innovation, and when we looked at strategic planning for diabetes, right? So some of our weight loss and some of the other areas that the innovation officer is applying to the strategic planning that we have facing us, and not only facing us, but facing the nation as we get an older population, right? and diabetes is on the forefront of some of those areas. So we're looking at that and innovative ways in which to do that, right? And so that's come up to the council. We've had a few visits already with a lot of the stakeholders to look at ways not only could we apply IT to that, but how could we change policy in order the way we care for our patients.
Using your CTO hat, is there a way to sort of assess the maturation of innovation within an organization?
Yeah, there is. We have an onboarding process. I wouldn't say it's complex, but we use a lot of stuff, from our industry partners about innovation, the hype cycles, mm-hmm. to look at when is the best place to apply that, and is it too early or is it kind of too late? Maybe we should be looking at something differently to allow that innovation to happen. Maybe we apply, HTML5 that allows us to do more mobile than typical HTML4. So that's just it's on the hype cycle. That's just a way to look at some of the enabling capabilities that might be able to help transform today and take us to mobile tomorrow. So maybe the thought was get the data, and I'm thinking centrally, but maybe tomorrow I think, wow, this really worked well. How do I get the outreach program to patients out there so they can have the mobile media and have the data on there in a protected manner? So that's kind of what we look at for some of the IT enablers, and then tease that out, and it really helps with the innovation area to think those things through from kind of a multifaceted area of subject matter experts to really place the best capability or the best innovation design or idea out into the enterprise as a whole.
So Congress directed the DOD and VA to undertake a cooperative effort to establish the integrated electronic health record. Would you tell us more about this effort and your efforts to integrate the EHR?
Sure. So I currently serve as the chief architect at the IPO, their Integrated Program Office, to help with that, to bring the VA and DOD into a conformance of a common area that the IPO has to kind of deliver to and really look at, how will we develop not only the network space and what just shared architecture lives in to both the .mil and to a .gov area. So looking at those challenges to bring those things together. And then, again, with our Health Architecture Review Board is just one evolution to allow us to have a place in which we say meeting the mission needs of both agencies in a common shared way in a platform of services. One thing we've done is taken a reusable product and service we use is our application, a virtualized hosting environment. So when we look at cloud, it's platform as a service. So they can start looking at putting more applications and services onto that framework to rapidly build out that computing platform in a manner that, again, meets the needs. That is, again, the fiduciary responsibility so that not everybody needs their own. You're bringing a shared space down there. And then securing that with a framework to allow both agencies to feel comfortable with what we do for our checks and balances as we start looking at delivering care to not only the internal .mil, but to the veterans as well.
How does this relate to or how do you support DOD VA synchronization? Is this sort of what that is?
Yeah, it is. Actually, it is. One of the big things we looked at synchronizing when we talk about the data model, mm-hmm. coming up with a common data model so we have better semantic interoperability between systems and systems exchanges as we do the shared space. So I always say that, the most important person on the Star Trek was Lieutenant Uhura, right? Because if not, it'd be kind of boring with went to a planet, didn't know what they said. Went to another planet, didn't know what it said, right? So I don't think they'd be on for as many seasons as they did if they didn't have a translator there to help with that. And that's really, when we look at the data level all the way through, it is all about the data. And really the reusability of there, we've seen a lot of commonality that we, the Department of Defense and the MHS and the Department of Veterans Affairs do together. We used a healthcare model, the HL7 model, to really look and say, do you give shots this way? Do you treat patients like this? And the answer fundamentally in a high percentage was yes, absolutely we do. Now we have some unique stuff and they have some unique stuff like long-term care veterans do. And we have our war fighting, right, that we do. But when it comes down to it, the majority of stuff we do together. And a lot of products and services we've both been working on, we're looking at sharing those together. We've already brought a lot of things on the table from a common user interface to allow that to happen wherever you're at, the look and feel and the adjustability of that user interface, very important to our clinicians because what a cardiologist might want to see, maybe a nephrologist doesn't, right? So it allows you to really manipulate that screen in a standard manner, right, for compliance, conformity. If you want the button to the left or button to the right, right, that's your call, right? But when you press that button, it will work and it will pull the data that you've requested.
Is there a target time frame for realizing this IEHR?
Yeah, they're looking at 20, 17, I believe, 2017. So there are increments, and there's deliverables for those increments as we look at our lines of business that we're going to be put out jointly, lab, immunization, pharmacy. We're going to be hitting the San Antonio and the Portsmouth areas with and retrofitting some stuff up at Great Lakes to look at deploying those capabilities in a platform in a shared space so that both areas and both organizations, departments can utilize that data feed to treat those patients wherever they're at.
So, Mark, I understand that you're the co-chair for the Health Information Technology Innovation and Development Environments, or HITID. Could you tell us a little bit about the purpose of this group, and more particularly, what are some of the activities and what remains to be done?
Sure. So the HITID stand up underneath the National Science Foundation. So they sponsor a lot of things. And then Dr. Rosendale from the VA was a big proponent of really the need to have a health information technology underneath the NSF. And they've really, really helped us along to look at that. So we have FDA, NIST, right, HHS, ONC, a lot of the people and organizations that we have like problems potentially, right, in that shared space, that form and that quorum allows us to share ideas, to look at problem spaces, to figure out how we might address that both from industry and from internal, to really provide more, I think, transparency about what are the challenges of health information technologies or where we're going to. And so it's been a very interactive meeting with all those participants. And we're really fledgling, getting off the ground on that. But again, early and up front, it's producing a lot of promises because of a lot of the, again, transparency and communication. Like, yeah, I have that problem too. Right. Yeah, I read that in the PCAST report as well. And right, I do think semantic interoperability is very important to the transformation and meaningful use of that data in my space as well. So how could we do that? And so when we look at some of those problem spaces, maybe Johns Hopkins is better at this one. Maybe Harvard's better at that one. Maybe right, FDA, NIST, and you know some of those compliance and mandate offices can help that pull that information back. So we look at a better way to transform where we want to be with health information and health information technologies.
Yeah, and I'd like to pick up on that customer satisfaction. What are you doing to enhance that among internal and external customers of your office?
Sure. So from internal, we do customer satisfaction about what we do for that. Same thing with our external customers. We capture those, right? They ask, and that's really led by a lot of our central office that does that. But when we do our after actions with upgrades to our products and services, right, we either sometimes physically go out to the site, do a check and balance with the customers, meet with them, and that's really a lot of our program offices do that, or they set up like a university type of thing and bring the people there before they have a next major evolution of that, right, to ensure that we are not only meeting today's requirements, that we're fulfilling the need for the customer to exchange data with a computer platform. So that's kind of how we do it today, right?
What does the future hold for technology within DoD's military health system? We will ask Mark Googe, Chief Technology Officer at MHS, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.